Meet Peyton. He wants to be the president of the United States, but to do that, he has to be president of his class first. Tonight, we're meeting the crew that wants to see him succeed and the others that want to see him fail. It's episode one of The Politician on the Netflix original show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
How is everyone doing out there in internet land? My name is Flobo Voice. Thank you so much for tuning in to the After Buzz After Show for The Politician, the Netflix original program from Ryan Murphy and co. One of the more unique offerings this year, I can tell you that. But we're going to talk about that, the storylines, the special segments, and we have some news. But before we do, let's introduce our panel. All the way to my far, far left, she is an actress and attorney. Give it up for Miss LaToya Blakely.
Hi.
How you doing? So you good?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here and to talk about this show.
Yeah. And on her right, this guy is actually a hand model, but a stand-up comedian all the way from the Midwest. Give it up for Mr. Adam Carr.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So excited to be here, and I cannot wait to talk about The Politician. I absolutely love this show.
So glad you guys are both on the panel. Just overall, just thoughts. Like, what was the first thing that made you go, I got to be a part of this show? Like, what was the most like compelling thing about The Politician?
Well, I didn't realize at first that these were high school students, but once I realized that as former students, student governor president myself,
really?
I was like, I've got to get in.
High school, college?
High school.
Okay.
High school, yeah. Sophomore, junior, and executive president senior year.
What? Resume for the win.
Yeah, for sure. Adam, have you have any political experience?
I feel terrible now sitting next to you. No, I was going to say I was homecoming king. Nothing. Something.
Yeah, I wasn't, so that counts.
No, I don't know. I was kind of a friend of, I thought of the people in high school. To me, this show was something, it was incredibly smart. I love that the trailer to me just caught my attention right away. Obviously an amazing cast. You see something like, you know, Ryan Murphy's attached, Ian Brennan, Brad Falchuk. To talk about politics now in this day and age, especially setting it in the high school background, I thought was just something I really wanted to check out.
That's true. I mean, I thought it was interesting too. I also ran for public office here in the city of Los Angeles in my neighborhood council. Came in dead last, but I went for it.
Hey, and, but you went.
I went for it. Everyone's saying these kids, they don't get involved, and I did. And I learned my lesson. I'll never do it again. But the thing is, it was interesting.
And now I live in my basement.
Welcome back to After Buzz from my life in my basement.
Hi.
No, the thing that was cool about that was watching a show, how it can be kind of farcical, right? I'm sitting there going, I remember people saying, you can't win, you can win, here are the points ahead, and I was drawing from that. So that was kind of my link to the show. Let me ask you this. I mean, just watching episode one, first episode here, first after show, just thoughts about what you thought it was going to be and what it actually was. Was it the same? Was it conflicted?
You know what? I really didn't know what it was going to be about going into it. I mean, obviously, if you're in LA and in Hollywood, then you've seen all the billboards, and they're very, like, sexy and sultry and mysterious. So I was like, what
sexy
is this show going to be about? But after I started watching it, I was really just pulled in. I mean, it definitely is a satire, but it deals with, like, very relevant, important issues.
Sure.
And so I just think that it's going to be a very interesting series.
Absolutely. The humor is great, a little darker than I thought about it. Adam, do you think that, I mean, I know Ryan Murphy has a brand of being a little offbeat, but did you think that was going to be this kind of like playing with the serious elements in the same scene, like a little tonal shift there, or was it just a surprise for you as well?
I thought it was very much a surprise because I didn't realize how also heartfelt and much I would feel watching it. It's easy for something to be funny. It's much harder for it to be funny and for you to constantly want to go back to it because how good it makes you feel. That's kind of like a subconscious thing that I feel like Ryan Murphy really locks into.
Yeah.
But the show to me, it was one of those things. I kept seeing the billboards everywhere. And I think like one of the slogans was, we promise to promise you everything.
Yeah.
Like it just seemed to be making fun of the political process so much. And I think especially we're so saturated after the last election that it's palpable how much we want to talk about politics now, which we didn't necessarily want to 10 years ago.
I absolutely agree. It feels more like sports coverage nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, today, guess what he said in the office? Just moving on, Peyton, our main guy, has big aspirations of being the president of the United States, which is a job I can't imagine anyone actually wanted to be, but he wants to be. But his goal is to do that. He has to become class president. First scene meeting him, you're kind of like, is this guy for real, LaToya? What was going through your mind when you first saw Peyton on screen?
I'm like, what was going through my mind when I first saw Peyton on screen? I think the same thing that's been going through my mind the entire show is like, when are they being serious and when are they kidding?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Real? What's a fantasy?
Right.
What's,
exactly. I definitely give him kudos for being so focused and like having a plan and working hard to make that plan come to fruition.
Yeah, he knew everything what it was to be a president, saying he was trying to get into Harvard because 7 presidents came from there. I looked it up. He's right. I don't know why I think he would be wrong, but I was like, hold on, for real, for real?
Let's see. There were 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Do your research.
I'm out of the show.
Right.
Do you think for a second, Adam, that like he was something wrong with him, or you just think he was very determined? Because I was a little bit in the fence that first scene. I wasn't sure what his angle was.
The immediate feel that I had, and this kind of had a similar vibe to Scream Queens a little bit, to throw back to another Ryan Murphy, but the fact that people are talking so fast, but they're saying things that are so smart, and it's kind of like the jabs are hitting you after they talk, it very much had a Dexter feel to it. Like if Dexter was a politician, how would he be?
Because that's so a terrible
much,
thought.
Yeah, exactly. Because so much of what he said, and I feel like this is true for a lot of politicians, they're absolute sociopaths. They have to remember how to show emotions. They have to remember, this is the part where I cry. This is the part where I should shake someone's hand. This is the part where I should hug someone. The fact that he knew everything and it was so calculated, but then had to go, cool, in order for me to get to see, I have to do A and B, which also includes how to look and act like a normal human being, which right. I find that a lot of them, to me, it made me very interested in watching it, because most people who I feel like have heartfelt emotions, who genuinely care, they don't want to be in public office necessarily. They're off volunteering. They're off doing stuff for the Peace Corps. So for him to, it was a different vibe, but yeah, it felt like Dexter running for president. How would he do it?
I just think that's an interesting thing. So as you said, I'm an attorney. I come from a legal background. I know lots of politicians. And so I think it's a little scary to think that all of these people I know are sociopaths.
I apologize for my blanket statements. I apologize for that.
And I've thought about potentially running for office one day. But yes, I love to volunteer. And that's kind of where my heart is. And so I'm just going to be looking at these people a lot closer from now on.
Maybe
that was a hasty generalization. I'd like to apologize for my hasty generalization.
I feel like there's a little bit of both. I mean, you can decide to run for office and have like the most honest of intentions and not be a sociopath, but I feel like you're trying to go into a field where people think the worst of you, like we've been so jaded by things, it's almost like why should we elect you? And I feel like it's like almost like a recursive thing where you try to be more likable, because being more likable makes you not fake, but it makes you look fake because you're trying to be more likable.
And then,
maybe
yeah,
I'm just postulating here. I don't know,
I'm like, just be you,
just be you.
I want that to be okay.
That's
right?
A slogan. I'll vote for that. Yeah. Be yourself, guys.
Just be yourself.
Do it.
No, and the fact, too, that you have this, he seems, obviously, either if he's straight or gay, you can't necessarily tell, so I can't tell if they're trying to go for, like, oh, like, maybe, like, a Mayor Pete shout-out or something like that, our first openly gay politician running for president of the United States. There's a lot of connections to, I think, people who are running now who are, I think, inspiring hope. And it's cool to see that also played out.
Yeah, speaking of people that want to see him win, we were met with McAfee and James, his cabinet, his campaign team. I guess I was a little bit thrown back how dedicated they were to making this guy, Peyton, the winner here. Mm-hmm.
They're all focused.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you all were when you were in high school, but we were definitely not that focused. Like, everyone has a goal. Like, they know where they're headed, and they are working hard to get there.
You have to be focused.
I was focused the 7th period, and I was going home. That was it. See you tomorrow, guys. Yeah.
I mean, the test next week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that also shows where we are today, where, you know, there's a 2-year waiting list for kindergarten, that people are already planning out so much ahead to have this great, quote-unquote, life that you have to be razor sharp focused now, or, you know, you feel like you're not going to accomplish anything, which I don't necessarily think is the case. I just think that's what's being presented.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we're going to a whole different debate there, but I feel more and more that, like, we're just like, oh man, you're not working on 8 projects. Are you really living life, bro? Or are you just not focused? But I was kind of like, I like the idea that their interplay had a very, like, West Wing, House of Cards vibe to it. But the stakes are so low, it's almost hilarious.
But they're heightening them so much that you feel like life or death,
To them, it is.
And they're, you know, obviously there's a death in the pilot here. So it's something, you know, it is very serious.
That is definitely true. Well, before we get into River, LaToya, can you tell the world a favor how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows?
For sure. Hey, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube, give us a rating on iTunes, and leave us a comment. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to me because... So thank you all for supporting us in doing what we love.
Yeah, AfterBuzz TV is, what, 4 digital networks and counting with Latino and Christmas. And if you guys are in the chat right now, you can live stream this after show and comment with your questions. Comment with your questions. Ask a question over here in the live chat. We'll make sure we read your comments to get you on air. Thank you so much. Let's talk about that death. Episode 1, River. who was River, the relationship between River and Peyton, and what caused them to really decide to end his life. I'm going to start with you, Adam, because you're just ready to go. River's actually one of the more complex characters here because he seems to be pulled from two different directions, from Peyton saying, how could you do this to me, and his girlfriend, Astrid. Thoughts?
I thought River, played by David Cornswet, is an absolutely brilliant character. At first, it kind of had this election vibe where, you know, he's running. You think it's going to be like the film with Chris Klein playing this role. Like, you think when he gets up and talks to everybody, it's going to be like, hey, guys, remember when I scored that winning touchdown? I'm going to win for you. You feel like it. And it doesn't. This guy is an empath. Everything he feels is so deep. And obviously, it's a very I feel like I'm going off a bit here. But he's such a cool character because he sets off the whole premise of the show, basically. His death kind of sets the tone of what's going to happen, because I don't think Peyton would have actually beaten him. It would have been impossible. He was too good. He was too vulnerable.
Yeah.
And he was just, he was like this nice, sweet person.
Yeah.
You know, he felt too much, and obviously that was too much for him.
It was almost like an anime character. He's like holding birds. Like, he's very super, super sweet, super soft.
He knows everything. He's super smart. He's like Captain America. I actually felt right away, I was watching the episode with my girlfriend, and I paused, and I'm like, this guy, David Cornswet, I'm just going to make a prediction here. He needs to be Superman. He needs to play Superman.
He does have that look.
He had a very Christopher Reeve vibe to him. He had the curl in his hair. He had the blue eyes. He had that, like, just vulnerability, likability, whatever you want to call it. I was almost afraid to hear him start talking, because I'm like, oh, please be a good actor.
Yeah.
Please be, like, don't just say, like, and then he was amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, Ben Platt absolutely knocks it out of the park. This is his show. But to put him with someone like David was so cool.
Let's take a step back with River. Like, I know that his death was definitely final. He's not coming back. There's no holograms or anything like that. But for a minute there, it seemed like it was going to be a story of two friends or two former lovers or some lover that had this dynamic of this election coming between them. But that got totally subverted. LaToya, just your thoughts about that storyline of having River being seen as an opponent and then overnight not an opponent anymore.
Well, I just think we learned so much about all of the characters in that first episode. Like, I just feel like I went through the library and, like, pulled out all these books and read through them, and I know so much about every single person. Once again, Ryan Murphy has done a really good job of, like, creating the space. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Right? Like, what is actually happening? Right. Who is this person? What does this person actually want? What do they mean? Except for in the case of River, I agree with you. And I didn't think about it in terms of River being an empath, but that's definitely what he was. He was so just in tune with, like, the people around him and what they were feeling and what they were thinking. And so I'm interested to see in later episodes, because I know that this character is in 8 episodes, so we're going to see more of him and, like, learn more about him.
Sure.
And so I'm interested to see
what
the relationship really was, because we don't really know.
Let's talk about the shortest Mandarin lesson ever. That scene between them and how they built their relationship. So what was going through your mind to seeing them interact with each other, Peyton and River?
It was very interesting. It was very interesting that Peyton broke down and opened up so quickly. I agree with you, it was the shortest lesson ever. I think they exchanged like 5 lines, and then River was like, great, see you next time.
Can I kiss you, bro?
Right. And I also thought it was kind of odd that he just kissed him and left. Like, I almost felt like he had violated Peyton just a little bit. Like,
that's a fair point.
Yes, as spoken as someone who was just in China for 2 months, hearing Mandarin, I was like, ha!
Were there accents in that Mandarin? Were there, like, American accents? Were they good?
No, they were very good.
Okay.
Once again, I was like, David Cornswet, what can't he do?
he's juggling while he's doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I'm like, what else? Does he speak Latin? Like, did he write a book?
Yeah.
You kind of see, and again, it's kind of like this... you don't know. I immediately thought at first Peyton was gay, and then, you know, he has his girlfriend in the show that he's with. But this fact that they kind of, like, fell in love real quick, but it was like their own special story. But that didn't River still with Astrid. Like, it was it was very special. It was it was like that Romeo and Juliet moment from Baz Luhrmann, where, like, they see each other and there's this automatic connection. They fall in love. But you also have this underlying feeling that it's going to be short-lived. It's not going to be...
Right. There is the other layers there. I'm not sure. We're not sure if Peyton is gay or gender fluid or sexual fluid.
That's the Dexter aspect, too.
Right.
Where, like, he's kind of asexual. And I feel like he kind of decides where to go based on what is more beneficial for him to do. So that... I'm so sorry. I'm blanking on the name right now of the... the character, his girlfriend in the show.
Astrid?
Not Astrid, that's River's girlfriend.
Alice?
Is it Alice?
I believe, yeah. Alice. So the fact that he's with Alice to be like, you know, you're always going to be with me, you're going to be the first lady. But I didn't necessarily think he was gay. I was more like gender fluid. Like, he's going to, I think, just find love where he finds love.
Sure. That's
right. So I was just going to say, is that asexual? Or is that pansexual?
It is more pansexual.
Okay.
In this case.
Okay.
But he also could be asexual too if it's on that, like, because his relationship with Alice is so cold, almost like a Lady Macbeth or Claire Underwood kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can also buy the fact there's no romance. They were devoted to each other. They said that we're with each other, but it also could be interpreted as it being open.
Which is the same thing you get with Gwyneth Paltrow and her two Menendez boys, brothers, but like the
Martin
that
Luther feeling, them.
Exactly. The fact that you have to say, I love you so much, like, I care about, like, when they talk about the emotion instead of actually displaying it,
right,
you know that they don't feel it. They're trying to say it so much that they actually do.
Yeah.
That's just my thought.
So if I tell someone I love them a lot, does that mean I don't?
No. That does. Yeah, it was, you know what? I'm just going to not talk.
Well, here's my
seconds.
Little backstory.
This so is my girlfriend's going to bring that up later. You're like, well, you tell me you love me 8 times a day.
Right?
Clearly, that's an act.
She's in the chat right now. No, I'm kidding. Just going back to our American presidents, and there's 45 of them, and 44 of them were in a heteronormative relationship when they got married, except for one, James Buchanan, and people thought, the rumor was that he was homosexual. So, I always thought that if you're playing that up at Peyton might be homosexual, that this Alice character may be more of like, well, this is for the show, like more of the satire of, I need to have a wife to be seen as approachable or electable.
You have to play the role.
Right. But again, the dialogue they had towards the end was so like full with, I'm going to help you win. You could also take it as, you know, maybe they do like each other.
I think they like each other. Yeah. I think there's they're kindred spirits. They love each other as people. I don't necessarily buy that there's any sexual tension between them.
Which is interesting because these are still high school students.
Exactly. I know. It feels like we're talking about 30s or 40 something.
They act like them, yeah.
Well, because by the time you're 12 today, you're basically grown up. There's all these.
Yeah.
You have iPhones, you have iPads, you have information, you have.
I was talking about that too. You see like 6-year-olds with like iPads and iPhones. You're like, but you're so young. But it's like, if I had a 6-year-old, I would feel that would be wrong if I didn't show them technology. It's a weird time to live in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know after River killed himself, Peyton has come to grips with that. Do you think that that's going to be something that's going to play out through the other episodes? Peyton coming to grips with his empathy or lack of empathy? Or is it just because specifically it was River passing away? It was kind of a moment for him being like, man, I miss this dude, this guy individually.
Well, I think we've already seen Peyton trying to address and figure out who he is and how he responds to people with the conversation that he had with his mom of saying, you know, maybe I'm not like other people. Why am I not crying? And once again, in this episode, we got so much information.
Sure.
So we've seen Peyton be vulnerable a couple of times, both times with River. And I definitely think that throughout this, we're going to see the development of Peyton, whether that's good, bad, or a mixture of the two. And there will be more conversation about River.
Right. Cool. Let's talk about our running mate search. It seems that the best part of the election is find the right running mate, the vice presidency.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of funny or even comical that there was this almost like furniture treating of these vice president candidates.
Yeah.
You know, when Sky was selected, it's like, oh, great, we got one of those. Oh, we need someone who's like that, but better. Like, just thoughts about that, Adam. What do you think about that?
Well, it kind of harkened back to the, you know, John McCain picking Lieberman to have, you know, a Democrat, the first Jewish VP candidate. That idea, yeah, very much it's window, it's furniture shopping. That he goes after Andrew, the kid with cerebral palsy, high school. So, and again, you know, and Andrew calls him right out. It's like, I know you want me to be your running mate because it's, you know, it's a pity vote. It's no one's going to be able to say anything bad, which is funny because this is also, too, what happens in the film Election with Matthew Broderick, Reese Witherspoon. When they're doing the campaign for presidency, there's a vice president kid running unopposed.
Right.
Who very clearly is either cerebral palsy or something, but that's kind of the, I think that's the point that they make, that by him going after this, he's trying to get that sympathy vote, but of course everybody can kind of see through it. So
are we saying, but John McCain sucks in Sarah Palin. No, what's Sarah Palin?
The second one was
Al Gore. No. Joe Lieberman, do you think that, using that as an example, when they were selected Sky, it was kind of like this thing where it was like, well, we don't know if she's qualified because we don't know if she's like the best person for the job, is that she's filling a role. I feel it was kind of a countermeasure to Peyton's election group saying, look, we need something that's better than that, and we end up going with Affinity. So the question I have, just watching it as being a fan, did you see any reason that you would vote for either one of these people the way they've been treating their running mate selection? Sorry, with you, LaToya. Like, would you just like, you know what? That's right. We do need this representation. Or, hey, this is pretty cynical. I don't know if these guys should be representing me at San Sebastian.
I mean, if I had a choice, I think my vote would have gone to River, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Right? He's a dreamboat, for sure.
Well, and he seems to really care about people. I mean, it's been very clear from the beginning that this is just a check for Peyton. This is something he needs on the way to where he's going.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully he has intentions to do some good along the way.
Right.
But my answer is I would have voted for River.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I would too, if given the choice. Let's a little more talk about the actual election itself. So it's a big deal. There's points. Everyone's talking about the votes and all that scandaling thing. Do you think, even though it's kind of like the main through line of the show, do you think that there is something else going to happen? This is looking ahead. That's going to be make this even more of a deal for Peyton, because he's like, he has to win this election, he has to get into Harvard, he has to somehow make some inroads with his family. Is there anything else we're missing here? Like, what's part of like Peyton's puzzle? I'll elaborate.
I feel like the greatest obstacle that Peyton is going to face is it's going to be the bar that he keeps setting for himself. Because obviously, I think it's, towards the end of episode one, he finds out he's waitlisted for Harvard, so nothing's going the way he wants.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the death with River. There's all these... It's one of those things where it seems so clear-cut, like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to become president. This should be easy. Like, I have all the top things. I know everything to say. I come from a wealthy family, and I think just figuring out like what that pulse of the, you know, American quote unquote public is, but also I think by him discovering to try to be more of what people want, he's going to discover to be more of himself. And by discovering to be more of himself, he's going to find his humanity, which I don't think he had at all at the beginning, because it was this science experiment instead of actually wanting to run to do better things. He just wanted to run because it was going to help him get into Harvard and eventually become president. As you said, like, he's going to become president, but first he's got to be president of his class.
Sure.
So if it's just a means to an end, it has to be more than that. And I think that's what we're discovering.
And I'm also interested to learn more about his biological family. I mean, we learned at the very beginning that he was adopted. Sure. There's been a little bit of conversation about like who his parents were and how he was born. And so I'm interested to learn more about his biological family.
Fancy that. Moving on, it's now time for our special segment. It's now time for the most touching moment of the episode. Adam, you have the floor.
Thank you. So there's two moments that I want to touch on that absolutely just kind of made me go, whoa, like they just, it was like special. I got chills, like maybe a teardrop in my eye. I'm not going to say either way. I was bawling. Let's be honest.
Honestly, it's the best policy.
So I want to say first, River talking to the school class when they had the debate. That was the moment where I'm like, all right, let's see what River's going to do. And I was like, I would follow this guy. He starts talking about his suicide attempt. And you hear everybody in the audience go, like, they just, you don't think that that's where it's going to go. Yeah. And he did something that most politicians would never do. He was actually open. He was vulnerable. He was honest. And that's usually, they say, the worst thing that you can possibly do sometimes, because you leave yourself open for every possible attack. Your opponents could come after you and go, this guy tried to kill himself. What if he tries to do it in office? How do we trust what he's going to say or do? How do we know that he's telling the truth now? There's so many ways to hurt and spin that, but it was so nice to see such a vulnerable moment. And then River also coincidentally had a second moment that was caused by his death, obviously, which was at the service when Ben Platt, you can see why this guy was in Pitch Perfect, sings this beautiful song that kind of comes out of nowhere. And for the first time, you get this glimpse into the window of like that this guy has this beautiful soul and that he really cares. Yeah. River actually moved him out of whatever this, it's almost like this reptilian mask that he puts on. It's a very Dexter feel where it's just like, this is who I am today, but took it off, it melted, and it was, that song was beautiful. I gotta tell you, that was just what an incredible thing for a pilot, because it made me immediately go, okay, I don't care what stupid things Peyton's going to do for the rest of the season, or, you know, however he's going to try to win. For this moment, he was real. Yeah. And Ben Platt absolutely knocked that out of the park. I thought it was brilliant.
Now I know why you like the homecoming king. That was deep, man.
Exactly.
That was very deep.
I give speeches once a week.
right outside. Let's get into our news segment.
AfterBuzz TV News.
LaToya, tell me something informative and entertaining.
So, Zoe Deutsch is on the cover of Porter Magazine, where she is talking about her role in this new Netflix series, The Politician. She's also discussing dealing with bullies. She looks amazing. So, I think you should pick up an issue and check it out.
Oh, dang. Have everyone here in this room have not been bullied? I feel like... Props to Zoe.
I think it's a rite of passage in America.
Exactly. And the fact that Zoe Deutsch was able to be bullied and using that to further her brand and get out there and become a platform for others is amazing.
Exactly. Well, she's fantastic. Incredible. Especially I mean, she's also incredible on this show, too.
Yeah,
she's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Her timing just, she has this Emma Roberts vibe to her. That's absolutely, okay. That archetype that she totally takes and makes her own. She's brilliant.
Is anyone else feeling Gypsy and Dee Dee Blanchard vibes from
Absolutely.
Infinity?
Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up. Who else here watched the act? Right. Who else here watched the HBO documentary that was even creepier because you realize how spot on they were with the act? I know we're not here to talk about the act, but we do.
Yeah, no, that's all I'm saying. Like, every time I see Infinity and Dusty, her Nana interact, I'm like, the act.
So good.
It is so good. The act was great. They're great. So no, I'm excited to see.
And we're going to get more into Infinity and Dusty as the season rolls on. I also love the character. I love the fact they're so complex. That's just the Ryan Murphy signature. And speaking of Ryan Murphy, it's now time for a top three Ryan Murphy series of all time. Take it away.
So we're going to count down, starting with number three, Glee.
Yeah, Glee's a gospel.
We have some Glee fans.
Glee was a game changer. Glee was the first time it took the musical theater nerdy kids' love of singing everywhere, which as a musical theater camp kid, I can tell you, I went to Interlochen.
Were you a warbler?
I was I did musical theater. I wasn't one of those kids who sang at the table because I think I just got beat up enough, but... yeah, Glee was the first time that combined all those aspects and I think touched upon, again, Ryan Murphy kind of feeling the pulse of the country or just where stuff was going, you know, and just knocks it out of the park.
Definitely so. Number two coming in at Nip Tuck.
Nip Tuck was another game changer on the other side of things because we're all obsessed about our own body and our body issues. I think everyone has their own body issues. They never are ever complete. No one ever like, I'm perfect. Because you can say, I'm a little heavy, but you lose the weight. And I have all the skin. You know what I'm saying? It's always this thing that's balanced there. And the character work there was kind of sad because we're so into ourselves. We're so into, even before the social media explosion. But it was so cool that they were able to look into the human condition, how we always want to improve to even disastrous results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of those shows on FX. I just remember in high school just being like, every time that show was on, like, oh, make sure my parents are nowhere near the room.
Yes.
Just because it seemed almost like a racy HBO, like, I'm definitely going to see naked women. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I feel like it could at any time.
And
just those kind of FX movies. And Nip Tuck was one of those. It combined all the over excessiveness of everything and kind of put it together. Mm-hmm. So it was, again, just a brilliant show by Ryan Murphy.
And number one, American Horror Story.
Now, come on.
American Horror Story is a franchise institution.
It's
Adam,
amazing.
Let them know. Tell them.
It's a juggernaut. Come on. That's what we just had season eight.
It's up there, yeah.
Right. So, and the next one, eight or nine. Sorry.
It's eight.
Okay. I get most nervous when I know things are true. Like, literally, you could be like, are we sitting at a table? And I'll be like, no, we're standing up. Like, I know we're clearly doing this, but I'll get nervous and say the opposite.
Yeah.
American Horror Story, just because that entire anthology, connecting them all, it's such an incredible show that has obviously launched so many careers. I mean, Sarah Paulson, you can't, like...
10 seasons.
Yeah, 10 seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, American Horror Story.
The ninth one just had to, yeah.
So we're talking, I'm just going back here on Wikipedia.
Eight was Apocalypse. 1984 is
1984
nine.
1984 is nine.
Okay.
And then you have them coming up there. Yeah.
See, I told you.
Peak anthology television. I mean, it's mostly it's a first anthology series, but definitely one that made it cool again. Every season had a different like setup and premise, another way to look at what horror was. And even though you had some characters kind of cross-pollinate, it definitely felt like a different experience every single time. So,
and I've sorry, just have to say that I am a huge fan of Jessica Lange. I think that her work is brilliant and beautiful, and I love to see a woman who's that mature and experienced still own her sexy and own her power in ways that, like, I can't do.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really excited to see her now in The Politician.
Own your sexy. I'm going to coin that.
Own your sexy.
I'm
going to
use that on Instagram next time.
I will still. I'm telling you, I'm 33 years old. A straight man, and I think she's still very sexy. I think she definitely has it going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does this like whispery thing. I feel like that's kind of her thing.
I think I will. Like,
and
yeah.
It's a very
Streetcar Named Desire.
She's got it.
Yeah. She has something.
What just happened? Jessica Lange,
sorry.
We all love you.
We love you.
All I'm saying is I have a girlfriend, but I would go on a date with Jessica Lange. I'm pretty sure my girlfriend would allow that.
Right. Like, how could she not?
Yeah. I think she would. Maybe we'll bring her over to the apartment, meet the cat. I have no idea. I just did a lot of stuff.
You did a whole lot of stuff.
That's all the time we have for this edition of The Politician. Latoya, where can the world find you online?
I am on, what am I on? Instagram and Twitter at Latoya.Blakely.
And Adam, where can the world find your lovely hands?
You can find me Instagram, funnyguy1985, or itsadamcar.com.
Funnyguy1985, that's a cool tag. My name is Flobo Voice. You can follow me on Twitter, at Flobo Voice, on Instagram, at Flobito, and of course, Flobito.com. And until next time, buzz you later.
Take care.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.